Welcome to episode 1009. It's Monday, February 2nd, Groundhog Day, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners like you. Start picking up a domain name today for just $1.49 or get 30% off your next order at GoDaddy.com. All my GoDaddy specials can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, got a great show lined up for you tonight. If I can speak well, we're going to have a great one. You guys know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to give a warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners and viewers, and of course, all of you that are part of the Ohana. Thanks for being here, and thanks for listening today, or watching if you may be. Got a great show lined up for you today with lots of stuff to cover. And, you know, I just have to laugh at myself because it seems like for like the last two or three episodes, I don't know what it is, but it's like I get ready to launch the show and I can't speak to save my life, but, you know, it's just the way the ball bounces sometimes. But hey, everyone, welcome. And, of course, we got lots to share. And I think the most important thing is if you're brand new to the show, I want you to take some time and get over to geeknewscentral.com because really that's where the action's at. We've got a lot happening on the website right now. A lot of content. I mean, today alone, the team put up how many? 1, 2, just 2 articles today. But yesterday there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, just there's just a huge amount of content that's going up. And all of it's from, you know, products that we found at CES that we thought were awesome. You know, a video here from Celestron. We talked with the folks from UniKey talking about wireless key entry into your home. We've got the folks from IDKey that's got a cool device to secure your passwords. We've even got something about a new credit card that's called Plastic, P-A-L-S-T-C. And this is going to be a single device that's going to replace all your cards. I am of all the products I saw at CES, that's probably the one I'm really excited about. And you can find more information about them over at Plastic, at P-A-L-S-T-C. .com. And yeah, it's Plastic without the I. And of course, then we've got Blue Bed, let your be hands free everywhere. It's, and really what the thing of this was basically a holder for your hands free. So I think you're going to like this little device. And one of my most favorites, and the first time I've ever bought a product actually on the show floor. I mean, just we're doing the interview and from a company called Flick, F-L-I-C. Well, it's not a company, it's a device. It's a Bluetooth-enabled button. And what's cool about it is, how many of you have had your camera out and you want to take a picture, but you can't just quite hit the shutter and you're trying to get the angle just right? Well, with this, you just hold the camera where you want it and you push the button, wherever it may be, in your pocket, your hand, for a flick, and it basically will enable the shutter flash or specific... a function that you pre-program, and it was on a Kickstarter, and I'm just absolutely amazed of some of the cool things that they're doing. So that was something I jumped on board at the show. Probably their Kickstarter is probably over by now, but definitely check it out. And of course, we've got just a whole variety of devices, everything from a breathalyzer. So if you are out partying, and want to make sure that you're safe to drive, or if you want to check guests, they're at your party before letting them out of the house, whatever it may be. It's a company called Flume that's out of France. It's going to be bringing a breathalyzer to us. And really, it's they use this as a social way to make people responsible. And of course, I don't condone anyone drinking and driving, but this is something that will be of good use to a lot of people. And I think it's a good way to give you a measure of how intoxicated you really are. And then an article, basically an interview with Corning, talking about very long Thunderbird cables using fiber optics. So this is just some of the stuff that's on the website right now, and including a tag pet tracker as well. So get over to GeekNewsCentral.com and check all this out. And of course, we want you to subscribe to the podcast while you're there. So you can see it very easily on iTunes or via RSS. If you're an Android user and you really don't know how to subscribe to the show, all you got to do is click on the More Subscription Options. That's going to load a page. It's going to give you all the details and step-by-step instructions on how to subscribe to this show if you're an Android mobile user. And we want all of you Android folks, if you're listening to the show via your computer, we want you to download Beyond Pod or Podcast Republic. Those are a couple of apps that we recommend, and subscribe to the show so that you guys get all the benefits that all these iOS users have had for many, many years. So definitely do that. And of course, while you're on the website, we want you to sign up for the newsletter as well. There's a link there on the website to do that. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about today in the show, and what I'm just basically going to send out an email with a full list. That way, when you're listening, you can just load the email and you can grab the articles that you think are worthy of a further deep dive than what I'm going to go into. So get subscribed to the newsletter. And again, that's a one-way mailing list that comes from me, and you're not going to get a bunch of chitter chatter from the Ohana. It's again, a one-way dealio. Also, of course, we want you to reach out to the show at any time on Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. That's really the two best ways to reach out. You can do Facebook and Google Plus as well, which many of you do as well. But sending me the email gets it into the easy. I just copy it over into the GNC listener stack, and it makes it just a piece of cake to go over those emails at the end of the show, which we will do today. What else have I got here? Of course, follow me on Google Plus, Facebook, and don't forget to watch the show, this show, on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Google TV, Smartcast, Chromecast, you name it. We're everywhere that there is a device, essentially, and we want you to definitely kick back and watch the show, and you can watch on the Apple TV too. It's just subscribe, and it's available there as well. All right, I literally have a huge show for you today, and I'm looking forward to getting the content. We're getting to the point where the FCC is going to be making a major announcement on Thursday, and of course, what am I doing on Thursday? I'm getting on an airplane to go to the Windy City for our annual winter retreat. Working retreat in the cold. Yes, it's where we basically don't sleep very much, and we just figure out what we're going to do for the next year with my company at Raw Voice, and look forward to getting together with the team, and we go to dinner a couple of times, and it's good. And we basically bury ourselves into piles of paperwork, priority list, you name it. It's a lot of fun. So there will be no show on Thursday. I fly back to Honolulu on Monday. So depending upon what time I get back, how I'm doing from jet lag standpoint, will depend on whether there's a show on Monday or not. We'll keep our fingers crossed that I'm good to go and able to do one. It may be recorded late, it may be a shorter one, but I'll keep you advised on that. If I absolutely fall out, it's not even worth doing because I'll be slurring my words trying to stay awake. But anyway, we'll keep you up to speed. If nothing else, I'll send out an email blast and let you know. Of course, tonight's show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy is the place to go to find all my promo codes. And of course, those of you that were watching the Super Bowl got to see the replaced Super Bowl ad that they did. And it was, for a better word, pretty boring from a GoDaddy standpoint. But we've got the deals are just locked in, and we want you to save money, okay? So go to, again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and then 30% off your order, a new product, GNC30 is the code. Geek149 is $1.49.com. That really gets you a newer transfer domain. You can get a domain name, website builder, and a Microsoft Outlook email address for just $1 a month for 12 months by using a promo code GNCGOT. And of course, we got $1 a month WordPress hosting, $1 a month economy hosting, Press 4, Geeks 12. Those are all codes that you can use at geeknewscenter.com/GoDaddy. They're all hyperlinked. All you got to do is click on them and it'll take you over to the website. It's really a piece of cake. So if I just go up here and I click on the GNC30 code, it loads it and it actually tells you at the very top, special offer, save 30% on new products, talks about the offer limitations in the drop down. And of course, they're pushing the stuff that they were promoting on the Super Bowl ad. And if you go back to my website, that particular deal, you can lock that in by using, again, the GNC GOT code. That gets you a buck a month for a domain, website, and email. And for $12 a year, you're all hooked up at GoDaddy. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. They've taken care of us all these years. We hope that you continue to use their products and services. We do thank you for your support. I did get a couple of emails from people saying, what about renewal codes? Right now, no renewal codes. The best thing to do, and okay, this is the piece of advice I'm going to give you. If you are getting ready to renew a server, hosting account, any type of product that you have with GoDaddy, and they haven't sent you a code to save on your renewal, pick up the phone and call sales. And when you get on the phone with them, tell them your customer number or your email address. They'll load your account. Tell them, hey, I want to renew. What kind of a deal are you going to give for me? Their sales team is authorized to give you discounts on renewals. I don't have codes to give you, but if you want to save money, do that call. They'll take your credit card right over the phone, be able to process it, get you the savings locked in on whatever they have to offer. I'm expecting, and I've heard feedback from those of you that have done this, 20, 25% sometimes. So just be aware that you are able to usually negotiate a discount. Now on .coms, you're maybe not going to be able to get a discount on that. So because I have so many domains, I use their Domain Buyers Club, and I pay an annual fee for that. I get it at a lower price. If you've got enough domains to justify the cost of the Domain Buyer Club, you can do that. I actually have got 2 or 3 auctions going right now. So don't forget about the auctions as well. Now, none of my codes work for the auctions, but if you're looking for a domain name, and I shouldn't even say this on the show, but there's a huge, huge number of podcast-related domains that are now like in the wild. So don't, if you're going to look for a podcast domain, don't waste your time. Go over to GoDaddy, go to the auctions, search for the word podcast, and then just put podcast.com or podcast whatever, and you're going to find the full list. Look through those. There's some good ones in there that are available right now. I've got mine up on bid. And we'll see in a couple of days. So I hope you don't bid against me, but if you do, it's okay. But again, thanks GoDaddy for being a sponsor here, and on with the rest of the show. All right, let me see what I've got in my list here. All my video editing is done. I have edited all the videos from CES. They're up on the server. Now the writing team is busy. I had announced in a previous show that I was looking for some additional writers. We had 4 people that applied. I basically reached out to the first 2 and looked at their information and brought them on board. So we've got Stacy and Luke. I'll be keeping an eye on seeing. Now, Stacy's already started posting stuff up on the website. I haven't seen anything from Luke yet. If Luke doesn't get engaged in the next couple of days or so, I'll probably be reaching out to one of the additional folks that applied. And I really love it. I had 2 ladies apply for writing positions. I love to have the ladies on giving their perspective. So, you know, to get a little bit of a mixed, for better value, more, you know, just get some different perspectives. So right now we've got 2 writers on Geek News Central that are actually ladies. And I think that's really important in this tech space, especially they have some equal representation here. So I'll keep you advised. And if I have another position open up, I'll reach out to the folks that already have basically said, yeah, I'd like to do some writing on the website. Podcast award nominations, I think, close in like 2 days. So definitely, if you're nominating your favorite shows, get over there and do that right away because it is coming to a close very, very soon. And so, you know, that's moving very fast over there. And let me see here. Look at this. Yeah, nomination closed at 23:59 on February 6th. and you can enter your favorite shows. And it's nice to see they're starting. Looks like they've added some sponsors, which is good. So nice to see that over there on the Podcast Awards website. And of course, I'm just consulting only. I'm not involved in the whole process anymore. And from a, you know, basically telling them how to run things. And then this is the last year, then they've got it after this. This past Saturday, had a new media show. We had Daniel J. Lewis on from the Audacity Podcast, did an interview with him. So those of you that are in the new media space, you want to check that out. But I just want to, you know, I don't want to mix too much of my regular business stuff in here, but I'm going to tell you, the podcasting space is on fire. The number of new customers coming in daily has been like, we're just like, whoa. And it's from a support standpoint, the more customers you get, it just continues to grow. You know, the support tickets and, you know, questions people have and everything else. And if you look at our forums over there at forum.blueberry.com, you know, it's busy. And along with the other support tickets that come in, people have general questions and so forth. And I keep adding to the FAQ as things come in. It's repetitive that we see trending. But one thing I'm finding out now too, and this is something that all of you should know, especially if you're a business owner, I'm seeing now a lot of support tickets not being asked either on our support forum or through our contact page, but people are now going to social media a lot. They're going to Facebook pages, into the podcasting communities. They're going into Google Plus. They're asking questions on LinkedIn. And quite frankly, it's, and I had mentioned it tonight, it's a little bit out of control. I think today alone, there was 6 or 7 different questions that were asked that didn't come into our main site, but came into social media. Well, if we lived on social media 24 hours a day, it wouldn't be a problem, but we would get no work done. So what I'm looking for, and I'll be honest with you, I've done no searching around. I'm just doing a cold call to all of you guys. What are you guys using for social media tools to track? If you're in a company and you're trying to track the message or your brand or keywords, what kind of a social media tool are you using? At this point, man, it's like I find a solution and it looks good, I'm laying the credit card down, and because we need something to monitor, for example, Google Plus, or monitor 4 or 5 of the different Facebook podcasting communities. It's all this stuff that is that we have to follow that really I don't want to have to sit there and look at it, but I would like to get a text or an email saying, hey, there's a new, you know, there's been a mention of Blueberry or PowerPress or, you know, related terms and the context of that. So if I need to go in and respond to it, I can. What are you guys using to track stuff in social media? And at the same time, it's the engagement style is different, because what I'm finding, and this is some lessons, you know, I'm sure many of you have already learned, but we're getting to the scale now where we have a lot of fans of our products. At the same time, we have some naysayers. So, you know, there's two couple of camps of people. You know, there's folks that are on locked in verticals that go into a site, they publish and they do everything within someone else's company site and building their brand versus having their own .com. And like, you know, our philosophy is build your brand on your site, own your feed, own your process. And that we built tools to support that, where the other companies are, you know, build your brand on my site and pay me and have me lock you in for, you know, forever, because it's hard to get out once you get in. So there's a couple of those camps, and depending on the commentary, people will come in from one camp or the other. Now, if our folks get to them first, it's actually sometimes not real good, because then you get this conflict, and it can cause the customer to get a little confused. And we try to be protective, and at the same time, especially me, I have to sit back and take a deep breath and push keyboard back sometimes, because maybe someone has said something that spooled me up, and we're all very passionate in this space, but the main thing is we want to make sure the podcasters are taken care of ultimately. So just need a way to get an alert that something has been said or We need to respond to something. And if any of you are using a social media tool to track that type of conversations, let me know because I will employ it tomorrow. Yeah, I really will. Now, at the same time, if you've got some extra time on your hands and you're well-versed in our product line from a user standpoint, and I know I'm not talking to our, you know, our listeners per se, I'm talking to podcasters that may be tuned into the show, drop me a line. I may have a job for you. And it would be a part-time job, nothing full-time. I would prefer someone that has more afternoons or early evenings available. That would be best, maybe West Coast side. So just drop me a note and we can have a chit-chat, okay? All right, so that's it on my just crap talk. And I'm going to go ahead and get into the content here. And I shouldn't say crap talk, but just the stuff that's going on. And got a few people in the chat room tonight. Thanks for being here. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And I'll keep looking over there from time to time. So if you have questions tonight in the chat room at live.geeknewscentral.com, go ahead and ping me and I'll try to answer any question you may have. One thing that's weird going on here in Honolulu right now is normally the winds, the trade winds are this way. They blow into the studio through a window that is right over there, and I get a nice, it keeps the studio nice and cool. But we've had a shift, and we're actually getting 25 to 35 mile an hour winds with gusts up to 50, and they're coming from this direction. And so the studio door over here has to be open to get airflow. So as I'm going on tonight, if you start to see me sweat and my face get more red, it's because the temperature in the studio is going to continue to go up to the point of being unbearable. I've got the ceiling fan going on, but with no breeze, it is going to absolutely be a sauna in here before it's all over. But those of you that are watching, I can watch me sweat. Those of you who are listening can listen to me sweat. All right. All right. Thursday's the day. Thursday, it's finally game time. No, we're not talking about this Super Bowl where the Seattle Seahawks blew it in the last, 40 seconds. But was that insane or what? I'm not going to be a armchair quarterback, but I'm just going to state my opinion. Why didn't they run it? And of course, you know, the Patriot, my buddy down the street, big Patriots fan. And I could almost hear him screaming when he caught that ball at the 1 yard line and didn't quite get it over. You know, I could just hear him, you know, screaming. And then of course, then they get up the line and think, well, they're going to win this thing. And my 11-year-old's cheering because, you know, he thinks they're going to win it too. My daughter who's took the Patriots just because she's mad. And then they throw it and it's intercepted and it's all over. And, you know, my son's burying his head in the living room floor. And we're really not even Seahawks fans. Technically, we're probably Lions fans, even though we don't follow sports too much. And, oh, man, crazy. But anyway, I digress. This coming Thursday, it looks like the FCC is expected to propose a new net neutrality rules that would treat the internet more like a public utility. I don't know if people are getting early word, but every article I'm reading is they're expecting the government to apply Title II to internet service providers. Now, according to several reports, FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler's proposal will reclassify its broadband as a telecommunication service under Title II of the Telecommunication Act. Now, I don't know what side you've come down on this. At this point, I think I'm on the side of liking that news. There is some potential negatives with it as well. Now, if that happens, I'm going to tell you, You watch. You guys just, okay, I'm not going to be here Thursday night to dissect this. But I want you guys to watch the commentary that is going to simply explode out of the internet service providers. It is going to be World War III. I mean, it is going to be, oh, you thought it was ugly before? It is going to be over the top. Now, this could be kind of a half-baked thing too. But who, you know, the FCC is an independent agency that doesn't have to do what the president wants. But right now, politically, I think they're 3-2. I think there's three Democrats and two Republicans. They're supposed to be independent, but we know how that works. No one's independent. Everyone has an opinion. So I think it's 3-2 right now. So if net neutrality rules go into effect, the FCC namely is going to be, it's going to be war. And we know that there was a federal court has already dealt a deadly blow to net neutrality before. We already know that this was taken out. So we'll see where this goes. But again, I think this is going to be announced. And only time will tell. But I really think that they're going to go for this. Now, if they say they're a utility, oh, it's going to be good from a consumer standpoint because ISPs won't be able to throttle your speeds. They won't be able to block websites you want to visit. They won't be able to create fast lanes to websites or services that pay them off. And perhaps the most important part, and one we're really going to have to wait and see on details, is if the FCC dumps wireless into the same bucket as wired broadband. If they dump wireless into the same bucket as wired broadband, Verizon and AT&T will immediately spend about $1 billion on their lawyers. And they will dump money into receptive lawmakers in the Senate and House of Representatives who can either stop the FCC in their tracks or change direction. I'm going to tell you, this isn't over, folks, by a long shot. Not by a long shot. Now, if the FCC only goes after the internet service providers and enables them as Title II, there's going to be segments of AT&T's and Sprint and Verizon's business that will force segments of their business under Title II. I guarantee you, we're going to hear lots of noise on both sides. Now, this is just when they announced. They don't go to a vote until February 26th. And it's, get the popcorn, get some candy, you know, get yourself a big drink and sit back and just, it is going to be a show like we have never seen before. I'm here to tell you, it's going to be on. Everyone is talking about this. Now, on top of that, a report coming out of the Hill, it says the FCC is preparing to overrule state web laws. So they're going to try to prevent cities and towns from building out their own government-run internet services. Actually, the FCC is urging fellow commissioners to block state laws preventing cities and towns from building out their own government-run internet services. I'm a big fan of this. I've told you guys for 10 years where I grew up, the little town that I grew up in, still to this day, there's no high-speed internet. My mom lives in the country, no high-speed internet. And I should say I grew up in the country, but the town I went to school in, no high-speed internet. You go 12 miles to the west, the water municipality brought in high-speed internet when it wasn't cool to have high-speed internet. So the little town of Coldwater, Michigan has Muni broadband that's incredible, priced incredible. It was a great deal. They did great things. Now, I haven't kept up with it in the last couple of years, but at the time, it was fantastic, and we think we've seen this throughout other venues before, and we've talked about it many, many times on this show. So you know that Tennessee and these states that have laws in place, the states are going to cry foul. Hey, it's what's happened between the separation, right? You know, state governments being able to have self self-autonomy and being able to make state rules and govern from within the state. But then they have the feds come in and say, no, 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 your state law has been overruled. That's going to go through the court process. We'll probably end up in the Supreme Court. The ball is just going to start get rolling here, folks. This is not over at all. So what do you think? What do you think is going to be the announcement? Geeknews@gmail.com. I want to hear your opinions. Do you think Title II is good? Do you think it's bad? We've been following this for a long time. It's time to put the money on the table. I want you guys to tell me Title II is good, Title II is bad. And why? Why you think that? And again, you don't have to have a super educated guess. Just based on what you've heard so far, tell me if you're for or against. Geeknews@gmail.com. Because I really want to, after this all goes through, I want to go over it with you. I want to talk about what we all thought. And you know, because everyone's going to come down a little bit different on this thing. And, you know, there's plus and minuses on both sides. But I want to hear from you for sure. Okay. So let's talk about Apple. We talked about them last show, and man, how they just absolutely, and I got two things on Apple tonight, and two things that should, one thing is good, and one thing is going to make you go, Apple's keeping its promise to the people of Arizona, and it will cost the company a cool $2 billion. After Apple Sapphire supplier GT Advanced Technologies filed for bankruptcy last year, Apple vowed it would work to replace the jobs that were lost in the state of Arizona where GT's main Sapphire plant was located. A new report from the Wall Street Journal reveals exactly how Apple plans to keep this promise. According to the journal, Apple has spent $2 billion to build a massive data center in Arizona, the same location where GT's Sapphire plant now resides. Apple says it will start building a data center in 2016 because GT needs time to liquidate. As for jobs the plant will deliver, the journal writes that the company plans to employ 150 full-time Apple staff at the Mesa, Arizona facility and will have the side benefits of creating up to 500 construction jobs. This is not going to make the 700 people that were laid off, but it is a start. Plus, they're going to put in a huge solar system there. So good on Apple for doing this. We'll see where it leads and at what point this thing gets up and operational. Are you completely switching gears here? And the MPAA has been making some bold statements. Stan McCoy was, until recently, the lead negotiator on intellectual property for the U.S. Trade Representative, making him the main guy behind the ACTA Act. Remember that? And the horrific intellectual property section of the TTP, the TPP, and the TTIP agreements. So, then last year, he jumped ship and he became a lobbyist for the MPAA. McCoy has a history of condescension and mocking towards anyone expressing concern for public rather than the industry, which pays his bills. So it should come as a little surprise that in his current role, he's been out trotting out more bogus claims that really ignore reality. And in a blog post discussing his appearance on a panel in the United Kingdom, McCoy insists that he's busting the myth that there's piracy because the content isn't available from authorized sources. He says, and I quote, "We need to bust the myth that legal content is unavailable. Creative industries are tirelessly experimenting with new business models that deliver films, books, music, TV programs, newspapers, games, and other creative work to consumers in Europe. There are over 3,000 on-demand audiovisual services available to European citizens, according to a recent KPMG report. 86% of the most popular and highest quality films and television series are available across illegal digital platforms to UK customers." So let's talk about some movies here that are available in the UK right now. And these are, some of these movies have been out a little while. Some of these are new. Interstellar, no. American Sniper, no. Taken 3, no. The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, no. John Wick, no. Into the Woods, no. Furry, no. Gone Girl, you can rent or buy. American Heist, no. The Judge, no. None of these are available. None of these available legally to be able to be acquired in the UK right now. These are hot, hot, hot movies that are available here in the United States right now. So how long is it? Those of you who live in the UK know how long it takes to get some of the American movies. Sometimes you guys are 6 months, 7 months, 9 months behind. And when you're hearing about us brag about these great movies that have come out, you want to watch them too, and you can't get them. So what do? You go out and get them off of BitTorrent or a peer-to-peer site. Most of these movies are only available to even those of us here in the United States via pay-per-view. I think right now The Judge, Interstellar, The Hobbit, Into the Woods are the only movies available, maybe Gone Girl, available on pay-per-view. I don't even think some of these movies we can get yet on DVD or even rent at, maybe you know, some of these at Redbox. But, you know, just these lobbyists lie. They tell the story that they want everyone to, they think if it comes out of their mouth, people are going to believe them. But a good article by Tech Dirt and calling them to task. Google, of course, is the great disruptor. They are the 5 billion pound gorilla in the room. And Google reportedly plans to take on Uber with a ride hailing service. Bloomberg is reporting the internet giant has been working on an Uber rival in conjunction with its driverless car project. Google plans to take on Uber, Lyft, Sidecar, and all the other ride-sharing services by offering its own similar product. The company most likely has been working on the service in conjunction with its driverless car project. Google's chief legal officer and senior vice president of corporate development, who also serves on Uber board, recently notified Uber about the possibility it would launch such a product as part of his disclosure being on the board of directors. Google did not respond, and I'm sure this news came as a surprise to Uber, which counts Google as one of its most important investors. So there's a lot of money in riding around in cabs and in cars. Okay, lots and lots of money. So it's a very curious time now. Google declined to confirm or deny the Bloomberg report, instead pointing reporters without explanation to a tweet it posted that says, we think you'll find Uber and Lyft work quite well. We use them all the time. But what does that really mean? Does that mean that doesn't say they're not coming out with something? So what does that really mean? Time will tell. But at the same time, Uber has just announced its own self-driving car project. So maybe it's kind of like a, So it's, you know, it's a two-way war here. So Uber is spending some of its vast war chest on a new facility that would pave the way to basically have self-driving cars. Today announced joint plans with Carnegie Mellon University to create the Uber Advanced Technology Center in Pittsburgh. Some of the projects include research and design autonomous vehicles as well as vehicle safety technology. So if you live in Pittsburgh, looks like there's going to be jobs coming here, okay? So keep you advised on that. But this is big news coming out of Uber that they're going to be doing their own self-driving car project. I wonder if it was kind of like, okay, if Google can do it, so can we. Now, this kind of moves into where we headed with all this, you know, driverless vehicles. Personally, I can't wait. I really can't. I'm really excited about where that future is going. But the federal government is seeking national conversation on transportation. So hoping to start a national conversation about the future transportation needs, the president released a report Monday that identifies key population, environmental, cultural, and technology trends expected to shape the way Americans get from one place to another over the next 30 years. By then, the population of the United States is going to grow by 70 million people, equivalent to adding another Texas or Florida and New York. Much of this increase will be in cities in the South and West. At the same time, the number of Americans over 65 will increase 77%. So this year, I'm 50 now, and 30 years I'll be 80 if I make it that far. You don't see too many old men in retirement homes. They're mostly older women because the guys have all died from heart attacks. But anyway, at the same time, 73 million millennials, the first generation to grow up with the internet, will become an important economic engine. So far, they're driving less than their Generation X predecessors, and many are gravitating to cities where they can bike, walk, and take public transit to work or school. So what they're going to ask is, the following questions. And they're going to be looking for input from technology companies and the population as a whole. How will the U.S. build a transportation system that doesn't just let a growing population travel, but lets them travel more safely? Well, here in Hawaii, we can't hardly travel from point A to point B without being stuck in a traffic jam. Let's fix that first. Number two, how will it reduce freight choke points that drive up the cost of business? In other words, how do we get the fruits and vegetables and stuff that need to feed these cities from point A to point B without a delay? Right now, you know, grocery stores do not have like storage in the back. A truck pulls up, they unload the stuff, immediately goes on the shelves. You know, there isn't a lot of stock. And that's what you find out when there's natural disasters, that, you know, there's a run on the grocery stores, everything gets emptied out. We've talked about in the past how Walmart, when you pull something off the shelf in Walmart and go to check out, that's immediately removed from the inventory. They know what's left on the shelf and it initiates self repurchasing programs when you get to a certain level. So the transportation questions are going to come in. How are we going to reduce freight choke points? I think you're going to have autonomous trucks delivering that stuff. I think that's what's going to happen. How can infrastructure be made resilient enough to weather events like Hurricane Sandy that occur without increasing frequency? With increasing frequency, I don't think you can plan for that. It's just going to have to, you know, you're going to have to make do where you can. And one of the final questions they're going to ask, how can barriers be cleared for new technologies that can make transportation safer and more convenient? Self-driving vehicles is going to help a lot. It really, really is. Cannot wait. So the report release comes as Congress is struggling once again to find money to keep federal transportation flowing, aid flowing to states. The Federal Highway Trust Fund, which pays for highway and transit aid, has been teetering on the edge of bankruptcy since 2008. Revenue from the federal 18.4 cents a gallon gas tax and 24.4 cents diesel tax are running low because the cost of fuel is down. So, they may have to raise the price of the cost of a gallon of gasoline just to keep that aid moving. And then I'm okay with paying a couple pennies more for my fuel if I know the money's really going to go on the roads and fix the roads that we're on every day. But oftentimes that money gets diverted and used for different things. People's little pet projects, park improvements, that kind of stuff. If you're going to do road fun, put it on the road. Here in Hawaii, our rail system, our multi-billion dollar rail system supporting 500,000 people is about $900 million already to the negative in budget. They're behind, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to pay for this whole thing. It's like a $5 or $6 billion transportation system for less than a million people. So you guys can do the math on that. But, you know, it's been a long time coming here in Hawaii. I'm not necessarily a positive proponent for it, especially when they've screwed away the budget and they're already $900 million in the hole on like a $5 or $6 billion product. And we're only like year two into the build. It's insane. It really, really is. Hey, over on the BBC, cybersecurity, defending unpreventable cyber attacks. There's a new study or new thought process out there that says businesses should stop worrying about preventing intruders getting into the computer networks and concentrate instead on minimizing the damage they cause when they do. They said no company can prevent an attack launched by hackers who have the resources of a nation state behind them from succeeding. He believes the hackers who breached Sony's network in late 2014 and leaked huge amounts of confidential information were backed by the North Korean government. It simply is not possible to beat these hackers, he said. Criminals want to make money, and if they find it difficult to get into your network, they will move on to another network. So yes, you have to spend money to, you know, protect your network. But the Sony hack was not done for money. It was politically motivated and vindictive. So, you know, I don't know if we all agree whether or not North Korea did that or not, but I also don't necessarily agree that business should stop worrying about preventing intruders. I agree that companies should concentrate on minimizing the damage that is caused and making stuff that's very, very sensitive, make sure that is, you know, extremely well protected. At the same time, you know, company documents and stuff like that are protected as well. But I think you have to continue to spend money on security. And do your best to keep the door locked at all possible with encryption and a variety of other things. So, you know, the BBC is sending a mixed message here to companies. You know, personally, I think you better pay attention to your IT infrastructure. And maybe it's time to hire an IT security person if you can find one these days. And have them come in, and if nothing else, come in as a consultant and tear your system up, down, and sideways to make sure that it's locked down. You know, I learn something new almost every day on the cybersecurity front. I really do. It's a complicated monster, and it's just way easy to miss one thing. And believe me, these hackers are real good at finding any potential hole to get into your system. So, you know, I think it's good to do the work, but I don't think you can completely walk away and just try to do. You know, minimize the damage or minimize the access they're going to get if they do get in. This is totally non-geek related. Let me just, I never knew this, but I think this is, again, this is like trivia. This is not techie related. How many of you ever gotten a boiled egg that was hard to peel? Like, we've all done that, right? Got one that didn't want to peel and was left with lots of flakes. Well, if you want to quickly peel a hard-boiled egg, it's simple. According to Lifehacker, you stick that hard-boiled egg in a glass of water. It's about half full. A glass that's big enough that you can put your fingers over the one edge and basically almost put a seal on it. And then what you do is you shake the cup very vigorously and such that it basically bangs the boiled egg around inside the cup, but you don't let it run completely out of water. And then when you get done, it just peels off. When you see this video, you're going to be like, how come I haven't been peeling hard-boiled eggs this way my entire life? And I've not tried this yet, but I guarantee you, when you see this, every last one of you that's listening to the show right now is going to try this. This is pure genius. Where did this come from? How come I haven't been taught this? 50 years I've been peeling boiled eggs, and no one's ever showed me this trick. It's the stupid stuff that gets our attention, but it's very effective. And, you know, especially around the holidays, you know, the missus cooks up, you know, 20 hard-boiled eggs. I have to, you know, peel them so that she can do what she does with them. And I'm mad. I'm standing there at the sink running the water, wasting water, trying to peel these stupid things. No more. If this really works, no more. All right, next up. White House seeks $18.5 billion for NASA budget. The White House has asked for a lot of money. I think like $2 trillion over what we're all paying in right now. So it's an incredible budget, but anyway, the White House has seeked $18.5 billion, $500 million more than last year, and basically looking for deep space. So we'll see where this goes. We'll see what Congress does. There's no way. I just don't see the congressional reps giving the president what he wants here. You know, he's wanted to give him more money for defense and everything else, but I would be shocked. Matter of fact, if Congress approves the budget as is, we all need just to remember that and continue to vote out all of the people that are up for reelection. Vote them all out. Because something has to be done with this runaway budget for sure. All right, hey, on Rosetta is seeing fascinating changes on Comet 67P. And they got some new images out that were released. And they actually, because it's getting closer to the sun, the comet's starting to warm up. So there's new jet fissures that are showing up, cracks in the surface that weren't there before, or basically probably underwater ice and stuff are starting to try to make their way to the surface because they're expanding. A whole bunch of different stuff here that's going on the 67P and changes to topography and everything of the comet. So this is pretty exciting stuff here. So as this comet continues to get closer to the sun, we're in for one heck of a show as time moves forward here. So looking forward to see what happens there. Also, they found the lost spacecraft, and they think they've got themselves a position now. Basically it's starting to brighten up a little bit on the comet itself, because as the closer they get, so they've got a pretty good idea where the landing area is now. So they got a circle of an area. It's here in this stack someplace. So time will tell on this. And as the comet continues to rotate and the sun gets brighter, we'll see if the Philae, if that that little sensor that's on the ground wakes up from its deep freeze and starts calling home to mama. There's a little bit of a dust up between Google and WikiLeaks right now. And WikiLeaks is basically saying Google is lying, and Google is saying, no, we're not. And this is involving Google having a gag order and not being able to tell WikiLeaks, two or three people that work at WikiLeaks, whether or not they were, the fallout is over. Google not being able to tell WikiLeaks editors that their email had basically been subpoenaed and probably looked at by the feds. So WikiLeaks lawyer is saying, you should have told us earlier. This is, this is wrong. But Google is basically, I think up to this point, not been able to say anything. They've been muzzled. And it's interesting when a company is muzzled. But at the same time, WikiLeaks has become a big target of the feds and people that work on it. So time will tell where this leads, but the WikiLeaks folks are basically complaining to Google that you should have told us earlier. And I don't think Google could. I think they're probably restricted. Also, Anonymous basically made an announcement today, and they're warning people that the Pirate Bay was online, back online, but they said, be careful. It is, it's not safe. They're saying that potentially the FBI has got access to the new Pirate Bay. They said, alert, stay away from the Pirate Bay website, as we've gotten reports that it's been seized indirectly by the FBI and its logging IPs. The alert continued. The team at the Pirate Bay are currently building their servers at a new website. Should be up in a matter of hours. Another alert said the Pirate Bay has a new domain, old domain compromise. This will be live in a couple hours. Always use a VPN. And it's now the piratebay.ac. So apparently that's where the website is now and potentially okay to use. But it's curious here that the Anonymous folks are making that announcement that they felt that the site had been compromised when it first came back online. And I don't know what to think about that one. It's just, them being teamed up doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but maybe it does. I don't know. But anyway, that was the report that's being talked about today all over the net. There's also a good article about some discussions that were made by some folks that worked in the government post 9/11 type of comments and some of the stuff that was enacted. I'll have that link up in the show notes, or an article over on TechDirt about permissions to reinterpret the Fourth Amendment and some actual public comments that were made. That's in a YouTube video by a gentleman that used to work at an agency of the United States. I'll have that link up for you to take a peek at yourself. All right, there's a cool image by Engadget talking about all the planes that left Arizona after the Super Bowl. And of course, while the majority of people that went and saw the Super Bowl are regulated to flying back in a commercial airline, there were the privileged groups that were able to jump on a Gulfstream or a private jet and get themselves out of Dodge. And it shows like 30 or 40 flights that left Arizona shortly after the Super Bowl shut down, and lots of flights going back to the East Coast, and of course flights going up to Seattle as well. But FlightAware did some tracking, so pretty cool on all the big wheels. The folks with the big wallets and deep pockets and corporate jets that were at the game. Have you ever had multiple tabs open in Chrome and all of a sudden had one of the tabs start playing music because some ad or something started playing? Did you know when that little speaker shows up that there's a setting in Chrome that you can set to click on that little speaker and make it shut off the music on that tab? I didn't know either, but I want to thank the folks at Field Guide at Gizmodo for showing me how to do this, because now I've got complete control, be able to mute a tab that has audio playing. So I am totally jazzed about this function, and it's a hidden option available on the Chrome flag page. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out, but awesome. Really, really, really awesome. I get moving here. I got a lot of content to get through yet. So, and it's, we're already long into the show. AT&T's been fined $640,000 for the FCC. And it appears that 26 of their sites were operating outside of the specified parameters by the FCC, resulting in that fine. So in other words, they were crossing the boundaries of other services. So causing disruptions and all kinds of stuff on 26 towers. Shame, shame, shame. Also, for those of you that are have kids in school, you guys know very well the cost of books. Amazon is taking on textbook sales at major universities. Amazon is set to open distribution centers at two large U.S. colleges and offer students next-day delivery through co-branded websites. The University of Massachusetts, Amherst, and Purdue say that their deal means that students will save nearly $400 annually on textbooks. Amazon has also given the schools 0.5 to 2.5% cut of the sales, which will net them at least $1.7 million in revenue. So that's kind of a cool deal here. So students who subscribe to Prime at $49 a year, half the normal rate, with a free 6-month trial available, will get free 1-day deliveries at the centers, and students will be able to place orders at special stations. So Amazon's coming to a school new year to get students their books. That's what my daughter does. We just get the ISBN number, we put it in the Google search engine, and we find the cheapest, and we have it shipped, and it's 9 out of 10 times coming out of Apple. This next article, I want to talk just a little bit about. I want to focus on part of the problem with corporations in the United States today. Apple is planning a $5 billion bond sale. This is the fourth since 2013. You're thinking to yourself, why does Apple need to take loans? Why does it have to sell bonds to raise money? They've got $189 billion in the bank. Why do they need to raise money here in the United States? Well, the reason they're doing this is because it costs them too much money to repatriate money that they've had in their offshore accounts. So it's cheaper for them to put a bond up, make it available for investors to buy, give them a return on the bond. They have a tax write-off on their American business. Following where I'm going here, and yet they keep their big hoard of cash outside the United States. Now, the president's proposed a deal where now they're going to go after those offshore earnings, where U.S. companies could be charged as much as 12% tax on those earnings outside the United States. A one-time dealio they're going to do is part of his budget. I just think that we should make it easier for those companies to bring that money home and basically make them pay some tax to bring it home. And, instead of, give them that opportunity. I don't think they ever will in the current tax structure. They're just going to keep the money offshore. It probably makes those countries where that money's sitting in happy. But again, they're planning a $5 billion bond so they can pay off share dividends and all this other stuff, because so much cash they have is not in the United States. I don't know. It's just something about this just pisses me off. They're well within the rules to do this, but we're all excited about the money that Apple makes, but Uncle Sam gets very little of that from a tax standpoint, because most of it's offshore. All right, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon Now, this is going to make you real mad, are paying to get around AdBlock Plus. So some of the web's biggest companies have been paying to get around AdBlock Plus, according to a new report, Financial Times. Microsoft Bing search ads and Tableau's recommended link box are among the ads that are currently slipping through AdBlock Plus's filters. Financial Times confirms that it is the intentional result of a pay deal between the makers of AdBlock and the owner of the ads. According to a Financial Times source, the companies have paid IYEO, the maker of AdBlock Plus, to be added to an official whitelist, which allows them to bypass the plugin. Now, this should not be confused with a different a plugin. I guess that's it. But anyway, if you use AdBlock Plus, and if you paid for that, just let you know that they're allowing ads through based upon that company being paid basically a ransomware to allow the ads to show up. So it's kind of funny, yeah? You get this nice plugin that you paid for it, and yet at the same time, they're allowing the other companies to pay to let their ads be seen. It just doesn't make any sense. Being today was Groundhog Day, there's a hacked alarm clock that only plays I Got You, Babe, just like on the Groundhog Day movie. And there's a good video about that on Gizmodo. I think you'll get a laugh out of it. They show you how to do it over and over and over and over. And there's a good article over on the Register talking about Flash. Flash is a huge issue right now. And Flash again has another zero day hack that's out there in the wild. And it's basically a SWF file that can be loaded, which is booby trapped, exploit this zero day security hole. You know, and there's been like 3,294 hits in just 24 hours on this new zero day. It just goes on and on and on. It's time to kill Flash. It's time for Flash to go away. And if you're a website user, get Flash off your site, please. And again, it's certain Flash players, all right? So the HTML5 players is the way to go. Don't be running a Flash player on your website. All right, Freedom Clip, bust your Keurig's DRM coffee shackles. This is available for $20. So I'll have the link up for you on that. Again, Freedom Clip bypasses the DRM of the Keurig coffee makers. How many of you watched the Super Bowl, watched the ads? Which ad do you think was the worst? I'll tell you which ones I thought were good. I liked the non Hall of Fame Rose. I liked his commercial. I liked the Mophie commercial where basically God's handset run out of juice. The advertising I didn't like so much was Nationwide one, a couple others. I didn't like the Budweiser one where they were making fun of the craft brewers and the craft brew drinkers. I had a few things to say about that on Twitter. Some of you were following me. First of all, for me, drinking a Budweiser, that's Insta headache. That's I-N-S-T-A, Insta headache. I don't know what it is in a Bud, but I get a headache just thinking about drinking that beer. But they really went after it's really sad because Budweiser's buying a bunch of microbrewers. That's the thing that's funny. All right, Google's donated $775,000 in grants to Code 2040, improve diversity in tech. This is great. The $775,000 grant is to a nonprofit group that looks to improve diversity in tech. Over the next 2 years, the grant will help 2040 launch free training programs for 5,000 Black and Latino college engineering students and allow the organization to expand into 3 cities. So nice to see Google making a cash investment there. Lucasfilms is heading into court to unmask the Star Wars The Force Awakens image leaker. They're going after the person that put an image up on Image Shack, and then Image Shack deleted the picture, but the damage was already done. It was out there in the wild. The studio is going to court to demand information about who that user was so they can go after them legally. Verizon is being rumored to say farewell to cell towers and wireline assets. The company's closing is close to selling parts of its wireline business. That's, in other words, the people, that's wires that are basically in the ground. They go to people that are on still, you know, on telephone lines that are, you know, largely in a non, you know, cell phone covered areas and so forth, or even people that still have phones in their homes. So, and they're also getting rid of some cell towers, which I thought was kind of curious. And so it's getting some of that stuff. I thought towers were like very hard to maintain and keep. I'm surprised they would be giving up any towers. There's a cool video by the folks in The Verge talking about a Super Bowl ad they run in Helena, Montana. Many of you probably saw that your local television markets had one or two or three, maybe four Super Bowl commercials. We had them here in Hawaii. But The Verge ran one in Helena, Montana. It cost them a whopping $700 to do that for their 30-second spot. But it really inspired me today because I sent an email to my CES team. They have this 3-minute video The Verge does on all the images and products and stuff that they saw at the show. And I said, hey, challenge my guys to come up with something similar as well that would be a decoupage of all the stuff that we covered at CES. It's almost like a marketing video. So I have that in work, and hopefully we have something in a couple of weeks. I don't know. See if the guys take it up as a challenge. If any of you have a Foscam baby monitor, please, please, please change the password. Those things can be hacked. And some people are freaking out when the hackers have been basically hacking baby monitors and talking to nannies and talking to parents and stuff. So be aware, if you got one of those Foscam baby monitors, change the default password on that, okay? Please, please, please. All right, Verizon is rolling out Android 5 for Samsung Galaxy S5 users, so my wife's going to be happy with that. That's coming. So if you have a Samsung Galaxy S5 and you're on Verizon, you'll have Android 5 soon. And last couple articles here tonight, skip that one. Where did these, some extra articles came? Maybe I didn't review these. Maybe that was the last one. Let's see here. What else do I have here? Oh, BMW has fixed a security bug which left 2.2 million cars, including models from Rolls-Royce and the Mini, exposed to hackers. The flaw was discovered in vehicles' BMW Connected Drive software, which runs on an installed onboard SIM card. And basically, via the smartphone app, owners can remotely control a number of functions, including door locks and so forth. They're going to be upgrading that on all of your systems, okay? For those of you that have Beamers. And sadly, Radio Shack may be selling half its stores to Sprint and shut down the rest. So Radio Shack may soon become a thing of the past. Kind of sad to see the Shack go. It's one of the few places left locally I can just go grab something real quick. And I still go to the Shack once in a while, you know? But doesn't look like that's going to be for much longer. It's too bad, really. Another retailer bites the dust. All right, let's look at what I've got in email here from the show today. I don't think I read email on the last show, so I can take this back a little way. So I got an email from Bree. She says, remember several years ago when you asked Ohana to give their predictions of whom I think 100 use in the future? I said we would all be part of a hive society, all connected via an internal chemical chip to a mother computer. This is happening whether we like it or not. We already chip pets, cattle, etc. We have chips in heart patients to use with heart monitors. We are beginning to chip quadriplegics so that they can transmit electrical impulses to their computers or microphones. Think of the uses. Track elderly people with dementia so you can find them if they've wandered off. Track young children in case they get lost or abducted. That U.S. general who was abducted and hanged in Lebanon about 10 years ago could have been found with an internal GPS chip in him. Or we could possibly find people abducted by ISIL/ISIS. You won't need a phone if you can speak to a phone chip in your arm. This will be done via electrical impulses from your brain via that implanted chip. Again, whether or not we like it, it's happening. Resistance is futile. Bree, resistance is not futile. I can understand chips used in certain instances, but me as a healthy male, I am not getting chipped to open a door or pay for a soda. All right. I just I'm resisting still. So yes, let the resistance reign. I got an email from Randy. Of course, Randy had replied. We talked about the GoDaddy thing. Randy, I do thank you for your input there and your concern on the GoDaddy ad per se. Also got an email here from Jeff, and it's basically an article on BGR.com that is a video. Steve Jobs gets vindicated one last time. It's about him trashing Flash back in 2010. Yes, he has. Absolutely. Also, Sam sent me an email, and you guys are going to laugh. Todd, I saw this short video and thought of you and some of the feedback you received by using the word irregardless. And I know it's not a word. He says, it's less than a 2-minute video. You need to see it. I think you'll get a kick out of it. You know, and this is on Merriam-Webster. So are they going to allow the word, Sam? Is that what they're going to do here? Or are they really not happy? Okay, so Merriam-Webster is saying, it is, in fact, a real word, but it is a real word. But that doesn't mean you should use it. Oh, so irregardless is actually a word now? I've been told so many times it's not. But doesn't it make a sense, irregardless? Thanks, Sam. I will watch the video. I haven't watched it. I do appreciate it. What else here? Let me go back and see if I've gotten everyone. And one Missouri lawmaker wants to make Apple Pay way less. So what is that one on? Something about Apple Pay. I think we've covered everything that was done up to this point. And also I do want to thank, let me go here real quick while we're on this and let me see if I can run through. And I want to thank all the insiders that have, been contributing to the show. I do appreciate it. I want to thank Ryan, sent, received, got these intermixed here, Roger, Luke, Mika, I'm so sorry. Someone's going to have to tell me how to pronounce Michael Lenny. I apologize if I pronounce your name wrong. David and Curtis and Michael and Todd and who else? Deborah. I think we've gone far back. All contributed to the show. If I missed your name, I apologize. But thank you all for being insiders and supporting the show. It is definitely greatly appreciated. Just to let you guys know, I paid out about $1,500 or $1,600 to our writers at Geek News Central just over the last 2 days for all the writing they've done during CES and post-CES. I want to thank them really. They're worth every penny in the work that they're doing. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart of all the hard work. And it's a job to get through these things. And I was very happy to send payments out this morning. And, you know, really without our support of GoDaddy being a sponsor and the insiders that are part of the team here, we really wouldn't be able to do what we do, keep the lights on, keep the blog posts being updated with new content every day. And me coming in here and attempting to put on a great show for you folks. I appreciate your support. I appreciate your longevity and listening to the show and your loyalty. It is not at all taken for granted. I'm very humbled to be your show host here for 1,009 episodes. But if you have comments on today's show, definitely drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, if you want to leave a voice comment, there's a link on the website too. There's a way to do that still through a third-party service that's available. Or you can just reach out to me on Twitter or Google+ or Facebook. Try to make it show-related so that I don't miss it when you send me a message. But it's been my pleasure bringing the show. Again, no show on Thursday. Keep our fingers crossed for Monday that I'm not too wiped out. But I do appreciate your guys' patience with me. Until next time, everyone take care. We'll see ya. Aloha.